Pasha Shalach Lecha. From the entire Torah, I believe that this parasha is most striking. In as much that we see how Klal Yisrael have been doing so fantastically well, more or less, building themselves up, leaving Mitzrayim, organizing themselves, building a Mishkan, about to go into Eretz Yisrael. I mean, this is it. They're on the verge of entering Eretz Yisrael. And then a tragedy happened, a catastrophe happened, of Parsha Shalach Lecha, and basically because of that, Klal Yisrael were delayed for 40 years in the Midbar. No one who are adult age, between 20 and 60, within the men, actually made it into Eretz Yisrael. They all died every year, they knew exactly when they're going to die. 60-year-old died, and it's a catastrophe. I mean, something they were looking forward to for hundreds of years, going to Eretz Yisrael, that's it, they're dying in this wilderness, in this Midbar, all because of Parsha Shalach Lecha. So we think to ourselves that a Maisa, it doesn't have a real relevance to us on a day-to-day level, what the Meraglim did. You know, how many spies are there, and what relevance does it have to working on our own Midas in this particular way? So let's get this parasha very clear. And we see that how deeply connected it is to the way we think and how we think, and how dangerous it is, chas v'chalila, to get an incorrect perspective of who we are and what we should be doing. This parasha begins like this. Shlach lecha anoshim. Perek gimel pasuk beis. Shlach lecha anoshim. So again, every time it says anoshim, it's anoshim chashuvim. Rashi mentions at that time there were kulam anoshim. Said Rashi, kol anoshim shuvim mikra loshim chashivus. Every anoshim, it says in the pasuk, means that there were chashuv. Va'isal shok shein hoyu. And there were kosher. The Ramban goes even further. Ramban says that why is it that the list of names over here seems so random? You have over here, you have Reuven, then Shimon, then Yehuda, then Yisachar, then Ephraim, then Binyamin, then Zevulun, then Menashe, then Don. What's the idea? Why do you have such random order of names? It's not within the growth or the size of the Shevet. It's not with regard to how they travel. What is it that actually defined where they were in this list? Says the Ramban, they were all Anoshim Chashuvim. They were all Chashuv, and it mentions them according to the level of Chashivus that they had. In other words, the most Choshev came first, and the lesser Choshev came later. That means, Rabbi Yisai, that Kolev Ben Yefuneh was the third Choshev, and Yeshua comes way, way down the list. In other words, Yeshua Ben Nun. Yeah? Yeshua Ben Nun, who took us into Eretz Yisrael, who took over Moshe Rabbeinu, was way down the list of people much more Choshev than him in this list of Meraglim. And we're dealing here with Kulam Anoshim Chashuvim. They're all Chashuv, all Kasha. And what happened to these people? These people, says the Gemara and Sota, that these people said later on, Le'nuchalal, it says, Om, ki chozakul mimenu. Chozakul mimenu means Hashem could not take us in. Hashem does not have the power to be able to bring us into Israel. It's just too big for him. In other words, his people became apikorsim. And the Chazal say that the chet of Meraglim was never, ever, do we find that they have tshuva for that. We do not find ever that Hashem says, Slachti kidbarecho yomoichel. We don't find that. But the ego we do. And in fact, this parasha of Meraglim was a bigger chil of Hashem than the ego. He's dealing here with men who had tzaddikim, who are high levels in Yeshua and Kolev, and later on, within a short period of time, they became apikorsim. They became lo yuchal mimenu. They can't bring us in. How is that shaykh? What is pshat over here? And not only that, Klal Yisrael buy into it. Hook, line and sinker. The mamish, they bought into everything and they felt that they can't go into Eretz Yisrael. That's it, we're doomed. And they bought into it and Klal Yisrael cried and they started the Tisha B'Av for generations. Unbelievable what's going on over here. What happened? How did this happen?
Something else we need to come into.
Yeah. So Rashi at the beginning of the parasha tells us the key to what happened over here. It says Rashi, the first Rashi on the parasha, Shlach lecha anoshim lama nismacha parashas Meraglim and parashas Miriam. Why is the parasha Meraglim connected to parashas Miriam? It says Rashi, lefi shaloksa al iskei dibor Shadibra Bachir, because she was smitten, because speaking badly about her brother, V'rishoyim halalu, and these rishoyim ra'u v'leilakhu musa. These rishoyim saw what happened, and they did not learn musa. So says Rashi, what happened over here? What was the key to their failure? They did not learn musa. V'rishoyim halalu ra'u v'leilakhu musa, never learned musa. That was the key to their failure. Were they to learn Musa and see and be inspired by what happens to Miriam and actually internalize it, this would never have happened. But Rishon Ra'u V'Leilokhu Musa. The Rishus was, they never learned Musa. They never learned how to spin this round and make a difference within oneself and to grow from it. Ra'u V'Leilokhu Musa. This is frightening. Absolutely frightening. In other words, Rashi is saying that the key to the Meraglim was that they did not learn from the experience that they saw with Miriam and did not internalize and did not become greater through this. What does this mean? What did they not see? How did they not learn? What's this all about? The Baal HaTurim says, Roshei B'nei Yisrael Hamor. Hamor is Gematria 50. Baal HaTurim says, Hamor Oyle Nun. Hamor is a Gematria 50. Melamed Shohoya Sori Nun. To teach us that they were, these people were Sori Nun. There were 50, they're the Sorim over 50 people. In other words, they had a very low level job within Klal Yisrael. You understand? In other words, there were people of Sori Alofim, Sori Meos, Sori Chamishim, Sori Asoros. They had 12,000 other people like them in Klal Yisrael. There's 600,000 men. So there were 12,000 other people on the same level as them. In other words, when you had a convention of Sori Chamishim, you didn't look that great. You know, the car park was quite full with another 12,000 other people like you. You didn't have your own special spot.
Even Yeshua and
Kalev. Even Yeshua and Kalev. He says, Hamor Eilen Nun, Melamit Shahoya Sori Nun. All of them, Hamor, all these 12 people, were Sori Nun. That's it. At a very low level. Okay? So these people, ultimately, they had a job. Yeah? But a job wasn't that special. That seems to be the key to what happened over here. What's Pshat? How do we see this? The Koska says, I've got a few beautiful pieces in this week's parasha. The Koska says like this. The Koska says, Moshe Rabbeinu felt that these people are low-level workers in their own eyes. A person who can be successful in any environment, in any place, he's not afraid to change his job, to change his location, to change his environment, to change the country he lives in. He's okay. People who don't feel they have a very good job, the slightest change, the change of their desk, already knocks them off. They're afraid, who knows, you know, if you're next to the door, then you may see. People get very, very afraid. People get,
paranoid.
They get very paranoid, correct. They get paranoid by the fact that any small change can actually change the whole environment, things can happen. These Sori Chamishim, these people who are Mamish, or they were Sori Chamishim, felt that if they go to Eretz Yisrael, there's no Sori Chamishim anymore. And if no Sori Chamishim anymore, who knows where I'll get a job. Now I've got a low paid job, at least I've got a job. Who knows what's going to happen to me? These people went out with a very, very low self image. They had little self respect, a very low self esteem issue. And therefore, these people ultimately felt that if they leave the little position where they are now, they're vulnerable to losing any cover they may have, and ultimately, come to Eretz Yisrael, there'll be a nothing. Says Moshe Rabbeinu to them, you have a very lowly job. He didn't say it in those words. But beware. Understand that you have to know how to deal with Eretz Yisrael. You have to know how to deal with your problem. The Koska at this. For Isem Esa Oretz Mahi, look at the land. He says, Umel Ha'oretz Ashehu Yoshev Bo. And what is the land? Hatoyva hi imro. What's Moshe Rabbeinu saying? Look if the land is good or bad. Hashem says it's excellent. How can you say if the land is good or bad? Hashem says Eretz Zavas Chalav Udvash. He is pouring, it is flowing with milk and honey. How can you possibly say, see if the land is good or bad? Says a Koska, no. Hatoyva hi imro. See, it's good, even if you see it's bad. Hatoyva hi. Say it's good, imro, even if you see it's bad. And it carries on. Hashmeino hi, imrozo. Say shmeino. Say it's beautiful. Say it's juicy. Say it's fat. Even imrozo if it's very thin, if there's nothing there. How can he do such a thing? How can a person, he sees the land is weak, and he sees the land is rosa, how can he say it's so good when it's nothing? Says Moshe Rabbeinu, you know why? Because I'm just telling you, Eretz Yisrael is overwhelming. Eretz Yisrael is huge. It's not another country. It's not just another country in the world. Eretz Yisrael is unique. When you go there, you're going to see huge things. You're going to see huge payers. You're going to see huge people. And you're going to see huge levels of ruchnius. But don't be overwhelmed by it. Don't say it's bad when it's really good. Don't say it's weak when it's really strong. You know why? Because the his chazaktem. Strengthen yourself. If you are felt strong, if you feel big, if you know who you really are, then v'lekachtim epri ha'aretz, then you'll benefit from the fruits of the land. If a person knows, as they're coming into Eretz Yisrael, if they knew who they were, if they knew selo v'sarich hamishim, but we're children of Ribbono Shel Olam, and Ribbono Shel Olam loves us and cares for us, and we adore Deo going to Eretz Yisrael, then they would see the land with such self-respect, with such honor, that they are representing Ribbono Shel Olam in Eretz Yisrael, then they would see everything that looks dangerous as a challenge, everything that looks weak as a challenge, everything that looks big as something they can acquire. That is how they'll see it. V'his chazaktem, strengthen yourself. Then you see the fruits of the land. That is Eretz Yisrael. Eretz Yisrael is overwhelming. But if you know who you are, and you know what rights you have to the land, then you're zoicha to go into Eretz Yisrael. I think when this in Alpert says, Talmud of Rav Moshe, he says that Moshe Rabbeinu changed Yeshua Ben Nun's name, Hoshea Ben Nun, to Yehoshua. Yeah? So he changed Hoshea Ben Nun to Yeshua. So where does that Yud come from? Famous marriage, where's the Yud come from?
Sorrow.
It came from Sorrow. Sorrow from Sorrow, from Sorai to Sorrow. So the Yud was taken from there. So ask Mr. Alpha, what's the short of Yuds? Yud's the smallest letter, you know, take it from somewhere else. What's, why Dafka this Yud? So he explains, Sorai, who eventually changed his name to Sorrow, she was aware who Eretz Yisrael belongs to. The Pasuk says by Eretz Yisrael, it says by Sorrow said to Avram, La Yirorish es Bani, what's the prophet say? Excuse me. La Yirorish Ben Ha'oma Hazois in Bani Yitzchok. This Ben Ha'oma Hazois, this Arab, is not going to have the right to be Yirorish the land with me, with my child. This self-confidence, who I am, who HaKadosh Baruch Hu has given Eretz Yisrael to, this is supposed to give us confidence that we don't have to be bowing down to the rest of the world and doing things that are ultimately dangerous for Klal Yisrael. One has to ask Das Torah. Okay, one has to ask Das Torah, but ultimately the self-confidence. Sorai gave Yeshua the self-confidence. Yeshua, you go into Eretz Yisrael, it looks great, it looks overwhelming. Take my little Yud and know that this land belongs to us, it belongs to nobody else. Go in there and come back with self-confidence. What did the Meraglim do though? What did the Meraglim do? They came back and they gave a report and they said as follows. The Pasuk says, the Pasuk says, I'm finding the Pasuk over here, excuse me. V'nehi b'einenu k'chagovim, v'chein heyinu b'einehem. V'nehi b'einenu k'chagovim, and we were, in our eyes, we appeared in our eyes like chagovim, like grasshoppers, and so we were in their eyes. Okay? Says a kotzka, v'chein heyinu b'einehem means the fact that we appear to ourselves in our own eyes like grasshoppers, that's bad enough. But we care what they think. We care how we appear to them. That was a chet of the Meraglim. That's what the kotzka says. In other words, worrying about what other people think about you rather than worrying about what has to be done, that was part of the Chet Meraglim. In other words, the fact that you think you view yourself as a Chogov, tough, Yeah, tough. You know, unfortunately, you've got a bit of a low self-esteem issue. But what I worry about, other people think of me, and therefore, I'm afraid of them. That is a chet of the meraglim. You have no right to be worried about other people think. You've got to be worried about what has to be done, and you have to do it. But Rebbe Gurevitz goes one stage further. Rebbe Gurevitz, Rebbe Shiva Fingesi, goes one stage further. And he says, Cheskel Abramsky, Zeich HaSadik, the Kodush of Rocha, the Gon Adir, the Rosh Hashiva of Slabodka, the Av Basin of London based in, the Goin Adir, he was once in England as Nebuch, you know, within the English, he was completely out of his league within the English language. He came over there with broken English, and he gives Shu'urim to many, many Balabatim. One B'nai Torah there, many, many Balabatim. And his Shu'urim were always packed. His Shu'urim, his droshes were packed. So dying in English, whatever. He's trying to speak in English. And my grandfather, Zecharin of Rocha, came over from Germany. He was a chief rabbi over the western zone of Berlin. And he came over to speak. He had a good sense of humor, and he came over to speak in a shul to see if they want him as a rov. So he thought, you know, he's coming up there and he's got impeccable English. He worked through the dictionary and he spoke and said, when he came down, there's a whole argument whether he's speaking German or English. You know, what language he was speaking. So this was not something that was unique. This was something that happened with all the Talmidei Chachamim. They came over from Europe and they had this very, very deep European accent, and their English was terrible. So one Dayan came to Dayan Abramsky in jest, and he said to him, Rav Cheska, I don't understand. We both agree that our learning is as good as each other's. I can learn as well as you can. Okay? And we both agree that our English is as bad as each other. You speak English as bad as I speak English. Okay? As badly as I speak English, that's right. Okay? As bad as I speak English. So why is it when I give a drosha, no one comes, and when you give a drosha, it gets packed? So Rav Cheska Abramsky thought for a moment and he smiled. And he said, the difference is, when I give a drosha, I focus on my strong point, and that is my learning. When you give a drosha, you focus on your weak point, and that's your language. Says Rav Leib Gurevitz, this is what's going on over here. He said, the fact that they viewed themselves as chagovim caused other people to view them as chagovim too. V'nehi be'ineinu k'chagovim, we appeared in our own eyes like chagovim, therefore b'chein hayinu be'ineihem. That's why they viewed us like chagovim. If we came across to them as strong, as representing Klal Yisrael, as representing a Dor Deo, leaving Mitzrayim, Melumad B'nissim, and they come in there feeling like ambassadors of Klal Yisrael, they would have had their respect. But because we're not sure, excuse me sir, perhaps, maybe, pardon me, therefore, ultimately, they were viewed as exactly the way they were viewed, exactly the way they felt. That is the power of self-esteem. If a person goes over with confidence, a person feels who they are, a child from Rebbein Shloilam, representing Rebbein Shloilam in the world, then nothing can stop them. One of the most greatest ambassadors and statesmen of Klal Yisrael in the last generation. You know, he was an elegant, charismatic, forceful person. Was Rav Moshe Scherer, Zecharei Livracha. An incredible man. He took a Agudas Yisrael that was called, and it was known as the sickly weed of Orthodox Jewry. He took it and he built it to an empire. He built it to such a force that the American government take it into very, very much into consideration when they make their policies and decisions. Rav Moshe Scherer was a charismatic man, extremely sensitive man, and a very humble man. But when it has to come over with force, he came over with force. He'd often quote Rabbi Akiva Eger. Rabbi Akiva Eger says, why did Moshe Rabbeinu come down from the mountain, the second Luchos, with a veil over his face? With a masveh, with a veil. Said, you know why? Because Moshe Rabbeinu was humble. Moshe Rabbeinu was an onof. And sometimes, as a leader, you've got to cover up that humility and come out with force. That is a koyach of a leader. You've got to cover up humility. You've got to feel who you're representing and come over with force. In one particular case, there's a senior official of the Office of Civil Rights in the Department of Education. He went to Ramesha Sharon, asked him to seek an explanation on why yeshivas insisted on separate classes. You know, why do you segregate the gender? So Rav Moshe Scherer said to him, when it comes to a bona fide religious faith community, such as Orthodox Jewry, the government is not entitled to any explanation. We do not have to explain to the government, for example, as to why our religion forbids us eating cheese with meat. If you continue hassling us and giving us problems, I can just tell you there'll be a huge scandal very soon through the government that is interfering in religion, and that'll be most explosive. The guy backed off. Very nicely, very forcefully, very clearly. You come over with self-confidence, it goes through. If you treat yourself as a chogov, people view you as a chogov too. There's humility. I personally gotta be humble. Humble does not mean I'm a nothing. Humble means I have a statement to make, and Rebbein Shalom is going to give me the koichos to it. I have no koichos myself, but with Rebbein Shalom's help, expect the best. I can go there and I can make my point. Klal Yisrael sent these sorry chamishim. They felt threatened by going to Eretz Yisrael, way bigger than they are. They're going to lose their status. They're going to lose who they are. Who am I already? Lucky I've got this job in the midbar. Who knows what will happen to me in Eretz Yisrael? And therefore, ultimately they had the negius to say, Klal Yisrael, let's stay in the midbar. It's too big for us. Who knows what will happen to us? Let's stay there. They had such low self-esteem that people treated them like rubbish. And that is what happened in this week's parasha. They started off as anoshim. They were kodosh and they were kosher and everything else, but they had a weakness. And the weakness was understanding who they were and what they're supposed to represent. This didn't only happen to the anoshim, to the spies. Klal Yisrael, unfortunately, had the same problem. Klal Yisrael were living in an idyllic situation. They were eating mon. They didn't even have to go to the bathroom. They never have to buy clothes, not shoes, nothing. They're sitting there and learning. They were eating mon that gave them complete ruchnius, as ruchnius food, helped them learning. And now they have to leave the yeshiva, as it were, go out to the big world, plow and sow and go to war and do business and deal with a tax man and everything else and stay in El Echid. How do you do that? And they said, Rebbein Shalom is too big. We can't. We have to stay here. We have to stay in the Dalad Amos of the Anonym, living in an artificial spiritual existence. We cannot enter Eretz Yisrael. And that was a mistake. Rebbein Shalom said, yes, you can. Klal Yisrael will give you the right training, will help you along, and you've got to fight Yetzirah in Golos as well. Fight Yetzirah outside the Ruchnius as well. Anywhere you go, and any place you are, you can survive as a Yid. And that was their mistake. It was a low self-esteem issue. They did not realize who they were. They did not realize they had the koichus to go out there and fight against anything that stands in the way and still stay Erlich. That was their question. That was their worry. That is what the problem was. And that's where they fell. So what happened? Now this is what gets very, very dangerous. Klal Yisrael felt they're nothing. Klal Yisrael felt they're very small. And as you know, there's something called the small man syndrome, where a person has to overcompensate. And they've got to show that you actually can. And, you know, and even however small they are, they've got to actually show that they aren't quite as small as you think they are. They can actually do a lot more than they expect. The parasha began, it said, Kichosaku mimenu, it's too strong for us. And then they cried, and then they complained, and then they died, and then the next parasha says, next parasha says, Veshkima v'boike, they got up in the morning, Vayala Rosh Hashanah Lemoir, they got up top of the mountain and they said, Hinenu, here we are, Perek Tesvav Posuk Mem, V'alinu el ha-mokim asher omer Hashem, we'll go up to the place Hashem told us, Ki chatonu because we've sinned. V'yemim Moshe, lomu zeh atam oivim espi Hashem, what are you doing this for? V'hi lo sitzloch, not going to get anywhere. Al ta'ala, don't go up, Ki ein Hashem b'kirubachem, Hashem is not amongst you, v'lo itnog p'lifnei aveichem, you will not win. Etc. etc. What did they do? They discarded that advice and it went up, and Moshe Rabbeinu stayed where he was, and the Bris Hashem stayed where it was, and the Yered Hamaleki Vaknani Yeshu Bahor Hahu Vayakum Vayachtum Adchorma. We completely wiped them out. What happened over here? Here we have Klal Yisrael saying we can't, and suddenly, we're going to go up. We're going to fight. We're going to actually win. And Moshe Rabbeinu says, no, you can't win. With Hashem you can win, you can't do it yourself. So on one hand, they're saying it's impossible, we can't, and then they just say, yes, we can do it all ourselves. What happened? You know, heard this before, yes, we can, yes, we can. Yeah, what's this yes, we can business? Where does this come from? You can't do anything without Rabbeinu Shleilam. What are you thinking over here? The Teretz is Rabbi Sai, this is low self-esteem. Low self-esteem means, I am so small that I've got to show how big I am. And therefore, I've got to do courageous acts, heroic acts to just prove to the world how strong I actually am. I don't want to get political here, and it's very early days still. But I want to veil this very, very, in a very thin veil of my opinion, what's happening in the political world today. There's a certain country in the world who's pushed around a lot by the rest of the world, told what to do, where they can build, where they can't build, you know, where what they should destroy, what they can't destroy. And even to destroy a house in a neighborhood which is built illegally, they're very, very afraid to do. Yeah, who knows, what will he say, what will she say, and how can it be said, and what the PR, da 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 da. All of a sudden they've got to show how really tough they are, and they go onto a boat carrying civilians, and they go and kill 19 people. Okay? What is this coming from? It's low self-esteem. If you're not going to knock down a house, you knock down a house, don't kill anybody. But don't be weak and then show you're very, very strong. This is exactly what happened in this parasha. If you don't know who you are, and you don't know what your strength really is, you feel you've got to overcompensate. You've got to say, whoa, we're weak, we're showing really strong. And you are weak. Don't try and pretend you're weaker. You're stronger than you really are. This is what happened in this parasha. And this is not something that happened dafka in the Midbar. I discussed this in the past, I want to say it over again. That this is something that happens to people who wish to overcompensate their past. Many people, Baruch Hashem, are coming back to Yiddishkeit today. Many people, Baruch Hashem, have found the Derech HaTorah, the Derech HaYira. They're building homes within Klal Yisrael. And they want to make a new start. V'yashkim b'boike. They're waking up in the morning. V'yales reisha har leimor. And they're going up to the top of the mountain and saying, Hinenu, here we are, Rabbein Shalem, I'm all here for you. We will go up to the place, Kichatonu, we've had a bad path. We're going to make up for it now. And what did they try and do? Unfortunately, they try and be frummer than the klal. They overcompensate. They move ahead, and nobody's good enough for them. They've got to dress in clothing that nobody else dresses in. They've got to be send their kids to schools that nobody else sends their kids to schools. Some people don't even find frum enough schools for their kids. You know what? They haven't found, so they homeschool them. Because they haven't found frum enough schools. It fits into everyone else, but for them it's not good enough. And what happens to them? Again and again the Gedolim say to them, don't do it. Don't go out there. Don't push too far ahead. The Aron Bris Hashem is right here. It's in the base of Medrash with all the other frum Yidden. Don't overcompensate. Don't push your kids too hard. Because if you push them too hard, what happens is the Amaleki and the Kanani are standing in the har. You push your kids too hard, they'll basically fall off the mountain. And you will fall off the mountain. Don't do it. And they don't listen. And they go and they live, go up the mountain. Hinenu, here we are. And ultimately, they get destroyed. They get destroyed. Says the next parasha. What's the connection? By Daba Hashem Moshe Lemur. Daba Bnei Yisrova Mata Leim. Ki Savoye El Ha'oretz Moshe Veseichem. When I give you the land, you're making a korban oila or a korban the falin neda on the dover. The pasuk says, "What should neda dover come from? In a boko or in a tzoin? From cattle or from sheep?" V'hikriv a makriv korban el Hashem, and it says exactly what you should be makriv: a mincha, a soilis, a sorim bolal beruvris hahin, shemen together, this flour mixed with the oil, v'yain a nesech, and etc. etc. And it says exactly how you should do it, Reach Nichoyach Lashem. And the pasuk carries on and says again and again, Kochi Yaose Lashoya Echel de la Ail, Kamisbar Shatasu, Kocha Tasel Echel Kamisbarim. Exactly the way I told you to do it, don't do more. Kole Ezroch Yase Kocha. Every civilian should do this. Esho Eile La Hakrib Ishe Reach Nichoyach Lashem. Again, it talks about if you want to make a pleasant Svalpa for Kodesh Baruch, this is the way you should do it. And then the pasuk says, V'chiyoga itchem ger, and if a ger is with you, oy asher b'soichem dorisaychem, va'osa ishreach nechayach Hashem, kasha tasa kein yase. A ger is with you, he should do the same. Hakol chuka achas lachem. Again, for the civilians, this is one chok. V'la ger hagor, and so too for the ger that also lives amongst you. Kochem kager yilifnei Hashem, three times. Four times it mentions Ger in the last two psukim. Why? A Ger here is a moshel. A Ger is a moshel. It's not referring to, I mean, Ger is kapshutoi, but and the message over here is a moshel. A Ger is somebody who's starting anew, starting afresh, compensating for his past, feeling that I want to make up for lost time. Okay? Which is a very, very commendable thing. Says the Torah, of course it's a wonderful thing, but don't overcompensate. Don't believe for one second that any korban you bring has to be any different to the other korbanos the rest of Klal Yisrael bring. Your avodah is no different than anybody else's avodah. There's a certain way of bringing a korban there, that is how you bring it. Don't bring any less or any more. Don't try and overcompensate. Don't push it too far, because ultimately that's not Reach Nichleach Lashem. Of course in tshuva, it's because Rambam says you go to opposite extreme. But you have to know what that means. You have to know what that means. You've got to be very, very careful. Being over from, you know, some people come from a very, very wealthy secular background. And b'shitta, they're going to go against that background and they're going to bring up their 12 kids in a one-room apartment. Because they want to break away b'shitta from all the gashmis they have. And it's a wonderful thing to break away from gashmis. That's very nice. But have you asked your 12 kids whether they're having a great time? Have you asked your wife whether she's happy? Have you realized the stress it's making in the home? You know, but have a beautiful home, but use Torah, Torah Achas. Know that what you're doing ultimately has to be done according to Das Torah. Don't overcompensate. Some people, you know, they had a great music past, and they really were involved in music, and they're involved in playing a guitar, or whatever it may be. Comes to becoming frum, that's it. Break my guitar, chuck it in the bin. That's not what Bein Shona wants. Bein Shona wants you, very simply, to take what you had in the past, and flip it round. Use it for Torah. Use it for mitzvahs. Don't overcompensate. Don't push it too far, because ultimately the Knanim and Amalekim are waiting on the mountain just behind you to wait until you reach that stage, and they'll push you right off the mountain. V'haser soton mulfenenu me'acharenu. A person has an avera, it's mulfenenu, in front of you. The soton standing in front of you to make you do an avera. Then what happens to do an avera? He stands behind you and pushes you. Do more, do more, do more, do more. And then you fall down and break your neck. That is what's happening over here in this parasha. We have Klal Yisrael beginning with low self-esteem. We can't do it. And then we have the next parasha dealing with, okay, we'll show you we can do it. You don't have to show, you don't have to prove about anyone anything. Just live your life the way it should be lived. Don't impress anybody. Impress the Ribbono Shel Olam. You don't have to look a certain way in order to overcompensate. You don't need that. Make that avoid the Reich Nichleach Lashem. A normal korban. Relax within the din of korbanos itself. Bring out what's necessary. And finally, the parasha says, "Vaydaber Hashem al Moshe leim, adaber bnei Yisrael matar leim, avoyachem al ha'oretz." When you come to the land, "Asher ani mevi eschem shomad," I bring you there. You should come into the land and immediately you've got to bring challah. As soon as you come in. As soon as you come in. Every other time it's bevoyachem. It doesn't say bevoyachem. It says achah bir v'yeshiva. After fighting and after settling the Eretz Yisrael, that's when you can bring the trumas of maisrus. But with lechem, with challah, as soon as you come into Eretz Yisrael. Why? So I saw a beautiful piece from Chaim Shmal over in London. And he says that the Bolzer Rebbe, Rav Aaron, Zecher Tzaddik Livracha, says that Klal Yisrael's chet was, as we discussed beforehand, the chet was that they felt that they cannot survive Ruchnius in Eretz Yisrael. They can survive a spiritual existence in a midbar, surrounded with Moshe Rabbeinu, surrounded with Mon. They can't survive. They cannot live in a place where there's gashmis, where there's shops of clothing. There are no shops of clothing in a midbar. There's no fashion show. Their clothes grew on them. You know, you had a kid who was 3 months old. He was wearing the same baby grow all his life, with the maybe buttons at the back when he became a Rav, you know. But that was it. That was it. He's wearing his baby grow all the way through his life. You know, there was no fashion show. They weren't into fashion. And that was what we're talking about. It's Gavaldi. It's fantastic. Says Rav Bein Shlomo, you know, it's time to move on. No, we can't. You want to stay here? You don't need to stay here. You can become great living in Eretz Yisrael, living in a world of Gashmius. And that was their mistake. Says the Torah, you know how? I'll give you mitzvahs to deal with that. Take a piece of bread. Bread is our sustenance. It's our very existence. Do you have to fight against eating bread? Do you have to not eat bread in order to become great? On the contrary, says the Pasuk. As soon as you come into Eretz Yisrael, take the bread, take the challah, and make the challah itself holy. As soon as you come in, take gashmias. On the contrary, take a piece of bread which is choymer, which is absolute gashmias, and take a piece off Ribbono Shleilam that has made gashmias ruchnias. You don't have to fight gashmias. You can make gashmias your best friend and make it to ruchni. That is this week's parasha. This week's parasha is understanding clearly who we are, not allowing other people to dictate how we should feel. We are the children of Ribbono Shleilam. Nothing can stop us. If we feel chagovim, it is self-inflicting and people treat us like chagovim. We're not chagovim. We're a Klal Yisrael that has a tremendous past and we have a tremendous future, and we can dictate our future. We are tremendously powerful to follow with Ribbono Shleilam's word, and with his Shabbat Tishma there's no end. We don't have to overcompensate and pretend to be something we aren't and try and impress other people. Impress the Ribbono Shleilam. Be straight with what we're doing. Don't try and create a lifestyle that ultimately, chas v'shalom, stifles your wife or your children or your family or your society. Live the style, the lifestyle Kodesh Baruch Hu wants you to live within Torah and mitzvahs. Don't do anything outside the norm. Re'ach nicheyach l'Hashem is doing everything the Korbanos dictate in the same way, even if you have a new start. And ultimately, we can become great. We have gashmias, we have nisyonos, but we can take the gashmias and we have the koyach to build on the gashmias, to take gashmias and make it ruchnias, and ultimately we can not fall into the mistake that the Meraglim had, and we can go up Ez Hashem into the land of Eretz Yisrael with confidence it belongs to us, and Ven Shem earn our existence in Olam HaBotu.